Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. You're listening to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, earlier today, Nick and I were able to catch up with Nick's former teammate, his ESPN college football analyst, Anthony Becht, and well, I had to know about his thoughts on the NFL draft and what's going to happen coming up on Thursday.
Nick and Cecil here on the VIP line. Anthony Becht, ESPN college football analyst. Anthony, good evening. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, and let's talk NFL draft. Let's talk these wide receivers, and amongst the teams that you cover are the New York Jets. The Jets could start that wide receiver run sitting there at 11. Do you expect them to do that or maybe go offensive tackle? Obviously, this has a trickle-down effect for what the Broncos want to do at 15. But I think a lot hinges on what the Jets do. What do you think here a few days away from the draft?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think the Jets would love to get one of those top four tackles. I think everybody knows Becton, Thomas from Georgia, Wills, and then, of course,
Wirfs
from Iowa. So those guys, to me, they could potentially be off the board if that's the case. Now, you're right. It does get a little interesting, potentially, for the Jets at that position. A lot of people are saying receiver. I mean, you know, maybe you try to move out of that spot. There are some other tackles that I like but aren't really worth that value. But, again, if you can get a premier weapon for your quarterback, that's the spot you can get it. I mean, you may be the first team. I think the Raiders are going to be the first team to take a receiver in this draft. But, you know, you never know how things fall out. I think a lot of these teams in the top, you know, 14 picks really do need a offensive tackle that can start, plug in, and play a long time. I think these four guys can all do that, and you may see some action, you know, maybe like even a Buccaneers team getting up in that top 10 area to make these moves to potentially get one of these guys. So it may not just fall on their lap at that position.
You know, Anthony, this past week, you know, we heard a lot of news about Mekhi Becton testing positive or being red flag at the NFL Combine. Word hasn't come out as to what it was, but there were other players that were listed as well. How do you think that would impact maybe the first 10 picks in the draft?
You know, I think we're in a different time. I mean, now, do I shake my head as I hear guys that test positive for these things? Absolutely. I think it's a joke. I mean, you're going into a situation, premier time in your life, the work that you put in as a player, it all comes to a pinnacle in these months. And something like that, you know, would put any doubt in a team is tough. Now, you know, does that show up on tape? Is he a lazy player? Does he have those kind of tendencies? I don't see that. I see a guy that very close to it. Some of the coaches at Louisville, and, you know, they speak very highly of him. You know, these are guys that would tell me the truth on him, and I wanted to know the real deal. And, you know, look, a lot of players got some of that baggage, some of those things. Coming out of school, and you just have to find out, is this something that is who the guy is? Is it something that's sporadic? Is it, you know, was it just kind of a one-time deal? I mean, all these things have to be put into place. You know, it's disappointing to hear any player, but again, we've seen players in the past, you know, the Saps, the Mosses, these guys are Hall of Fame guys that had these same kind of issues. So you have to do your homework a little bit on these players. But on film, man, you know, he's a freak of nature, man. He's moving up my charts, you know, my top five guys. Yeah, I have him too right now. I think Wirfs is the best all-around tackle, but he's a guy right now. He takes up space too, which can help other players, and that's always a huge deal when you're talking about, you know, bringing a guy in that can instantaneously change the side of your offensive line.
Anthony Becht, ESPN college football analyst, joining us here on Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And Anthony, how do you split hairs between those top three wide receivers? Of course, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs. They seem to be the general consensus as the three best. How do you break it down between those three?
Yeah, so, you know, Jeudy's my top guy. You know, just the fluency in his route running, his understanding of the position, it's elite. I mean, you know he's going to come right in and he's going to be a guy. CeeDee Lamb, again, physically gifted, can do a lot of those things, but yet just has some freakish parts of him that just stand out, that can really, you know, just add to that, you know, next level player that you want at the receiver position. I honestly, I don't have Ruggs as the third best receiver. He's right there, though. He's got tremendous speed, game-breaking speed, but I always worry about two of the top guys coming from the same team because, you know, clearly they're all going to have their opportunities to really propel themselves and be well. So, you know, the true guy that I like the best out of those two is Judy. My third guy may be a little different from other people, but I think he comes into the equation for you guys when you're talking about receivers that I think will be looked at heavily is Denzel Mims out of Baylor.
Yeah, we love that guy. Just a quick aside, Anthony, we talk about Denzel Mims. We had him on the show last week. We talk about Denzel like every night on the show, so thank you. This is awesome.
Well, you know, the thing about him is, you know, one, I've covered quite a bit of Baylor. I had them twice this past season. And I know Matt Rhule pretty well. Number one, the culture change for this kid who came to a school with really no accountability, no work ethic, and just didn't really understand what it took to be a player. When Matt Rhule entered the equation, he basically gave him an ultimatum that became honestly his best player that he coached there during his time. No one's taken leaps and bounds more than that kid. So now you put it all together. You have the accountability, the understanding, the toughness, the physicality, and the want because your head coach instilled those values in him. So that translates right now, which is tough at that position, which, as you all know, is a diva 5 position that receivers lean on that more than the actual blue-collar style. He's a guy at 6'3 that can take a slant 80 yards. He can beat you with his route running. He's not afraid to catch balls over traffic. He high points the ball as well as anybody. The 10 to 15 yard line going into the end zone, he was as premier a guy in college football as there was, and everybody knew he was getting the ball. The fade routes, the slants, the tight quarter catches, all those things, he found and had a knack for the end zone. So you're talking about he has been successful over the entire length of the field. And honestly, guys, he'll knock your face off blocking as a receiver as well. So if you can get that combination and still get the elite talent that you're looking for, I'm telling you, man, I think he's a real, real strong look there at that spot for Denver Broncos. And, I mean, I don't want to say if you guys are talking about it, that's great, but I really like him, and I would not be shocked if he goes that early or somewhere around that spot as one of the top receivers off the board.
So, Anthony, with that said, what do you say to some of those individuals who've said here in Denver that, hey, listen, the Broncos can take a receiver in the later rounds. They don't have to take a wide receiver right now. Offensive tackle is what the direction that they need to go in. I mean, what do you say to those people who utter those sentiments?
I think they make great points. I think the one point that's not valid is I don't think they're going to get one of the top premier offensive tackles at that current draft location. So if that's the case, then you'll want to trade down several spots to get in that world where Josh Jones, Austin Jackson, those guys, where they kind of fit in that world. And I don't see those guys getting drafted, in the top 20. So you're talking about getting into that 21 all the way up to the back of the first round if you want to go that route. Is this a deep class of receivers? I think that second wave of receivers, guys, have enough to be first-round caliber guys. It's just that kind of a year for those top three or four players. So you're definitely going to feel – I'm not quite – where is Denver in the second round, guys? What pick?
46 in the second round.
Yeah, 46. So in that position there, you're really talking about someone's going to be there, whether it's Chenault or Justin Jefferson or, it could be, KJ Hamler if you're looking for a guy that can do multiple things at the position. I mean, there's just a lot of different angles you can go with. And this is a deep receiving core. Michael Pittman Jr., another guy that had a special year in Pac-12. But, you know, when you're talking about if you want to go that route, I would foresee a trade if that's the decision you make, because I just don't think you're going to get the value of that lineman position at 15. The one thing, though, that's different, guys, in this draft is that with the rookie scaling differences than it was in the past, if you take a guy higher, which we see every year in the draft, guys go places we're scratching our head because none of the mock drafts had them, is you're not really going to be off by a ton. You're not putting yourself in cap as a cap casualty because you take a guy maybe higher than you think he's worth. So when you get around 15 on, that's when you start saying, well, you know what? Hey, a lot of people may not have him ranked at this, but this is what we see, and we're going to take him there. It's not a big deal because we love that guy. And if they love somebody, maybe they take one of those other tackles at that position and say, look, he's the guy we picked. We can get our receiver and work with what we got on the board later, and then that's how we'll go. So that is the one unique difference in this day and age in the draft, where in the past, you know, in those top-tier picks, you were giving so much money that you really were pressured to get it exactly right in those moments.
He is Anthony Beck, the ESPN college football analyst, talking to NFL Draft here on Nick and Cecil. Now, my final one for you, Anthony, and I certainly appreciate your time as always. We do this thing called sharing with friends, usually on Friday, where we have, like, friends of ourselves on to tell stories. So I just want to know, because I've heard the stories from NFL Europe. I've seen the crazy face paint. I mean, this guy's was a freak on the field, Nick Ferguson. Give me a story, man. Give me a memory, you know. Give me some insight here on one Nick Ferguson.
Well, you know, listen, I'll be honest with you, man. I've taken so many hits over the day. I don't remember everything about anybody.
Thank you, yes.
The one thing that made an impression to me, and this is going to be probably what you don't want to hear is a positive. You want to hear the other stuff. But, you know, Nick was a guy that when he got on the field, you knew what you were getting as a player, man. I mean, he got onto the field. He was a short tackler. He was in the right spot. Coaches, if he had to go in there, coaches, you know, just embraced him. They knew exactly what you were going to get. And, you know, he was a huge contributor for us in New York when we were together. And, you know, that's what you want. It's a guy that when he's in the game, you don't worry about it. And I think that's hard to find. And the special teams all the way around, from being a starter at the safety position to just playing multiple different positions on special teams, the dude was accountable and just made a ton of plays for us, man. And that was key. And I think he's a guy that you don't put a price tag in this day and age on those kind of players. They make a lot more money than they paid Nick during those times, which I'm sure he's probably disgruntled about as he speaks. But, you know, just a player that you could count on. Accountable players are the best players, and, you know, they may not have made the headlines, but, man, you know, when we watch the film, it's like, there's Nick showing up again, and that's what I remember about him as a player.
Well, you know what, Anthony, I appreciate that, and the check is in the mail.
Yeah, it better clear, Nick, by the way. It better clear
when it gets my account. Well, here's the last one for me. When you look at a team that I know you cover well, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just acquired, you know, Tom Brady in the trade. What can we expect for them to do in a draft to help bolster that roster that they have pieced together?
Tackle. You got to do tackle. And I just don't think sitting at 14 you're going to be able to get the guy you want. I think that, you know, a couple scenarios are going to happen. They're going to trade up in this draft because they're worried about maybe not being able to get one of those top four guys that they really want. I think any of them goes to that they can get, they'll try to get, especially how it falls out on their board. If a guy's starting to fall a little bit in a position where they feel like they can trade, I think, number one, that's where they want to be. Number two, if those four guys are gone, I really believe they'll trade down because I just don't think the value's there for what they need. A lot of teams talk about they draft for need or they draft the best player available. This year with this team is where you draft for need, and I just don't think there's a need player to be drafted at that position. So I think they can get some picks, get some more players if they trade down. If they have to stay in that spot, they have no takers. Now you're talking about a conversation where they pick the best player available, and I think that's a scenario they don't want. I would be shocked if they don't do either of those things, or if they're lucky enough to have one of those tackles fall to them at that spot. I just don't think that's going to happen. If they have to take a guy, I would focus on a pass rusher. I know they have Shaq Barrett, which has been had a supreme year last year. Defensive player of the year, and then they got JPP to sign a deal back. Their entire Sue is back. Anytime you can add another pass rusher, a guy to maybe take the place of JPP in the future, there are a couple guys in that area where they're worth the value. When you look at defensive ends and pass rushers, I kind of like Gross Matos from Penn State. A lot of people have Chazion in that position, Epinesa. Right. A guy that's long, a pass rusher that has speed and elite moves. I think Gross Matos is a guy that that would fit there if you were forced to take a player at that spot, which I think right now the Buccaneers are trying to find scenarios to get up.
He is Anthony Beck, 12-year NFL tight end, of course, ESPN college football analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Anthony_Beck. Anthony, we certainly appreciate your time, and thanks much for joining the show.
You got it, man. Thanks, guys. Take care, Nick.
Appreciate it.
And there we have him, Anthony Beck, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL draft just a few days away, and our friend James Palmer of the NFL Network has a very interesting pick for the Broncos at 15. We'll tell you who next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.